remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God, okay? Do our best to bring what the Lord has laid upon our heart for this morning. Good to be saved, isn't it? Thank God. Good to be in the Lord's house. Good to know the Lord. Appreciate the Sunday school time we had this morning. I believe the Lord helped us in that Sunday school hour greatly and give us all something to get a hold of. And I trust we'll get a little something here in the morning hour. We're going to be in Hosea again. And you pray one of these days we'll get into place here in Hosea in the next week or so, next few messages, where Brother Hall will be able to prophesy some smooth things. But I don't know. Not being too smooth right now, you know. Some things in Hosea are not really that smooth, okay? But we want to bring what the Lord's laid on our heart. Hosea chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading again today in verse number 1. We'll read 5 verses together from the Word of God. Hosea said in verse 1, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sister, Rahumah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredom. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Now may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of that this morning. And we want to look to the Lord in a moment of prayer and ask for God's divine help. Okay, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning that we can be in the house of God. And thank You, Lord, that we've got a copy of Your Word in its entirety, without error and without mistake, and we rejoice in it. Thank You, Lord, for Your people that are gathered here today and those listening by the radio. Thank You for Your divine presence and power and help. I do pray for grace this morning and liberty in the house of God. I pray for unction, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. I'd ask You to turn hearts of sinners to Thee that they might be born again. Turn Your people back to God that we might experience revival. Have Your will and way in every heart. Help families that are here today. Help us to see truth, Lord, and then live by that truth that is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Bless, I pray, every home that's represented today. And Father, we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. All right. Again, verse number 5 said, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." I'm going to be speaking out of the first portion of that verse this morning, where it says, "For their mother hath played the harlot; she hath conceived; she that conceived them hath done shamefully." Now, I'm going to preach this morning on kind of a touchy situation. I know it'll be a touchy situation; it always is, and especially with parents, and then also with just people of God in general. But I want to preach on the thought of the succession of sin. How sin succeeds itself.
Right.
In other words, how sin follows itself. And I think we find from the text that it very well does that. That sin follows from one generation to the next generation. Now, I want to begin by saying in these verses, the Lord is using Hosea and his family as an example to show Israel their spiritual degradation. Here Israel had continued to plummet in a downward spiral into greater depravity and into sin. And God chose Hosea. I mean, it's a peculiar book and a peculiar passage of Scripture, how that the Lord chose Hosea to marry a wife of whoredoms, that he might use that family to illustrate to Israel how they had went away from the Lord and drifted deeper into sin and into degradation. The Bible said that his wife had played the part of the harlot and making her children the children of whoredoms. Now, because of this, the Lord said in verse number 4, I will not have mercy upon her children. Now, I want you to understand that verse number 4, verses 3 and 4 are conditional. The Lord will do these things, if you can read between the lines, unless Israel repents. If they repent, every time they ever repented, God was merciful to them. Anytime any sinner or any saint of God repents, truly repents and turns from a sin, God will show them mercy. But these judgments that has been spoken of here is due to the fact that Israel would not repent, and neither would they turn from their sin. And I think what we see here is the succession of sin. The sin principle that seems to follow families. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. I said the sin principle that seems to follow after families. And I've got several illustrations I'm going to use on this morning, and we're going to the house. But Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 16:44, he said, behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Now, I know that we've heard that in the ladies' meetings, and we've heard that over and over, but it is in the Bible. So as is the mother, so as is the daughter. And what that is saying is many times the daughter will follow the characteristics or the character of her mother. And we might say that about the men as well. Our boys are certainly apt to follow the characteristics of their daddies. They'll follow what their daddy's done. Many times if a man is a drunk, I know of some situations that a daddy's been a drunk and has driven the children away from that liquor. But most of the time when daddy's a drunk, those boys are going to grow up to be drunks also, unless God gets a hold of their heart at a young age. But it said there, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And when I read that, I couldn't help but to think of two people in the book of Mark chapter number 6. I thought about Herodias, and I thought about the daughter of Herodias. Now, don't leave me now. And Herod had made a big feast, and he brought in the daughter of Herodias to dance for him and for all those that he had invited to this feast that he had. And she pleased him, the Bible said, very well in doing that. And he told her, said, I'll give you anything you want up to the half of my kingdom. And that young lady ran to her mother and asked her mother, what should I ask for? And mother's reply was, that I want the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And that's exactly, the Bible said that it hurt Herod, for he knew that John was a godly man. And he had heard him many times, the Bible said, and was glad to hear him. And he was very sorrowful for what he had said. But for the oath's sake, the Bible said that he went, cut off the head of John the Baptist and give it to the daughter, and she brought it to her mother in that charger. Now somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, here is a young lady. Number one, my question would be, who taught this young lady to dance? She certainly didn't learn that on her own, mamas. Come on in the house now. there was somebody that had to be teaching that little girl how to dance. She's just a small teenage girl. And yet she had already learned the way to dance in such a way that it would please a man to look at her. What I'm saying, Mama, is we got to be careful in our life. And not only what we ourselves do, but we better be careful at what we let our children look at. What we let our children watch. Amen. What goes in that little eye goes up to the brain, and they'll learn a whole lot quicker than what you think they will. And so here is a little girl that has been raised up, and no doubt as her mother was, so was she also. Very bad influence. And so it seems here that there is a succession of sin. Herodias was a very wicked woman. She had divorced a man and was marrying Herod. John the Baptist said, "You cannot have that woman. It's wrong for you to have her." And he was put in prison because of that preaching, and eventually lost his head because of it. And the daughter followed right in suit of her mother. Now, you can either say amen or oh me. I wrote down there who taught her to dance to start with. And then I wrote secondly, she couldn't have dressed very properly either. If she was dancing before Herod and it pleased him, I wonder what kind of clothing that little girl was wearing. Come on in the house, ladies. It does make a difference how we dress our children. If they learn to dress in an ungodly manner while they're young, they're going to follow that when they grow old. We better train them up while they're little to walk in the ways of God. Amen. To learn to live a holy life and to dress like God would have them to, and put on clothes that would not cause every male in the world to lust after them when he sees their body. Oh, I don't want to get carried away on this, but I'm telling you, these women today that put on clothes, you can see every bulge, bump, knot, everything in their body, and they want it that way. And they always wear the low-cut clothes and try to expose everything. Come on in the house now. Now, I'm telling you, they didn't learn that on their own. Somebody had to teach them in that way. They probably saw that from their mother. Well, I'll tell you, I go to the VA hospital a whole lot, and I'll get in a message here in a minute now. I go to the VA hospital a whole lot, and I'm telling you what burns me up more than anything else. You get down there and you see a bunch of old 65 and 70-year-old women with blue jeans on tighter than a hide. Come on in the house now. And they're trying to act like little 15 and 16-year-old girls. Well, I hate to tell you, Mama, you ain't got it no more. You better learn to dress like a woman, amen, because you ain't got it no more. And all they're doing is making a fool out of themselves, trying to impress somebody. But what they don't realize while they're trying to impress somebody who is really impressing somebody is that child that is coming up behind them, that has watched them and been taught by them and learned from them all of their life. They're the ones that's going to be in trouble. Come on in the house. Amen. Now, so many times sin that is found in the parents proceeds to the children also, and will eventually bring judgment upon them. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7, keeping mercy, the Lord Himself said, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Now, I got on Mama's a little bit just then. I see Brother Steve back there gritting his teeth. Amen. We'll get on Daddy's a little bit now. He said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and unto the fourth generation. Now, I couldn't help but to think of a man by the name of Eli. Now, I'm sure everybody in here is familiar with Eli. Eli was a priest in Shiloh for Israel. And there was a young man that came out of the loins of Elkanah and Hannah, and his name was Samuel. And God brought that little boy to the house of God and raised him in the house of God. And when he got a little age to him, God came to him one night and called him. And he really didn't know the Lord. So Samuel run to Eli, and Eli said, I've not called you. This happened, I think, 3 times. And finally Eli said, if he speaks to you again, you say, Lord, thy servant heareth. And so the Lord spoke, and Samuel did hear him. And here is what God said unto Samuel. He said, and the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform, get this now, everything against Eli, all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's some real judgment. That's some real judgment. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what gets me out of that. The Bible said very clearly that the iniquity that he did, he knew about it. He was aware of what he was doing, and yet he continued to follow in that sin. He had 2 boys that lay at the door of the house of God with the women that came to the house of God and did absolutely nothing about it. And God said, Eli, because of that, he said, your iniquity, you know about it, and because of that, and because of how vile that you have been, he said, I'm going to bring judgment upon your family to the place that where its sin cannot be purged by sacrifice nor by offering. Folks, that's quite a ways down the line. Now, I want to tell you something, that Jehu finished that out. Come on now, listen to Brother Hall. I know we don't like this, but I'm going to tell you all something right now. Every one of us in here have got children in here this morning, our grandchildren in here this morning, and their little eyes are watching you and I. Now, I'm telling you, it does matter, and it does make a difference how we live our life before them and what kind of an example we set before them, because they're bound to walk in our footsteps. Amen right there. Amen. And so God said that he would not, that the iniquity of Eli's house should not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever, and it wasn't. And God judged Eli's house and judged his family till it was completely done away. Now, I have one more illustration, and I'll get into the message, all right? I thought about Israel when they come to Kadesh Barnea. And you know the story. How they come to Kadesh, and God would have took them into the promised land, into Canaan right then. But those 10 spies brought back a false report. And they refused to go in. And the reason that they refused to go in, they told Moses, said, you have brought us and our children out here to die in this wilderness. I want you to notice what God said. Hey, they rebelled against God. Come on, parents. Come on, parents. Come on, mom and daddy. They rebelled against what God had said to them and knew that they were in rebellion when they did it. Boy, it's awful quiet today. Hallelujah. We're having fun, ain't we? And it was awful quiet. It's awful quiet. Hey, but here's what the Lord said to them. But your little ones, which he said, should be a prey, them will I bring in. God said, you've rebelled and said your little ones would be a prey, but they're the very ones that I'm going to bring in to the land of Canaan. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, he said, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. Boy, and here is the statement that ought to get a hold of every one of us. And bear your whoredoms. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching on the succession of sin. God told the Israel, you rebelled and refused to go into the land that I promised you and use your children as an excuse for that. And because of that, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you wander in the wilderness 40 years. And he said, your children are going to wander there with you, and they're going to bear your whoredoms. Folks, that's strong words. God told them that because of what you have done, your children are going to be the ones to pay for it. Now, I'm going to tell you, that does happen so many times. Somebody said, oh, preacher, not really. Oh, no. What about Hezekiah? He's not even in my notes. What about Hezekiah? When Hezekiah was going to die, he prayed for them 15 more years, did he not? And then he showed all of his treasures to Babylon, all of them. And judgment fell on him. But God said, I won't do it in your generation, but I will in the generation to come. And it was his own son. His own son that would not, that walked in the wicked ways of ungodliness, that God brought judgment upon the nation of Israel because of. Boy, it is quieter than I really thought it would. Amen. Now, the succession of sin, why? How does it come about? Number one, because of evil. Simply because of evil. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. And it'll help us if we'll listen, honestly. In 2 Kings 2:23, Elisha, the prophet, is going up to Bethel. And the Bible said that there came forth little children out of the city. And they said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And the thing that I notice here is that it was the children that did it. And the Bible said that two she-bears came out of the wilderness and devoured 42 of them. In other words, it was the children that was devoured by those two she-bears and suffered the judgment. But what children were they? The Bible said that they were children of Bethel. Now boy, hey, I want us to get a hold of this. They were the children of Bethel. A place where once Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, had set a golden calf in that city. Hey, the word Bethel means the house of God. And yet there had been a golden calf set in that place for Israel to worship. Come on in the house now. Been set in that place for Israel to worship that golden calf. And it became, instead of being Bethel, it became Bethaven, a place of religion, a place of superstition, a place of ungodliness. And it was the children that suffered because of it. God help us. Come on now and listen to Brother Hall. I wonder how many churches in America today that should be called Bethel, the house of God. But rather than being Bethel, they're called Bethaven because they're a place of, and when I say superstition, I'm talking about religion. That's what the word religion means, is superstition. I'm talking about a place of religion. They had a religion there, but they didn't have any God there. And I'm telling you, churches all over America, they are turning from the preaching of the Word of God to playing games and this and that, trying to get people into the house of God, and they're playing church and playing religion, and what they're doing is they're bringing up children in their footprints that are going to be, hey, their children are going to be the ones to suffer from their stinking sins. Somebody say amen right there. And I don't care who hears it, who knows it. I don't really care, but I heard this morning in our prayer room that there's a certain church up in North Carolina that after they have service today, next week, one day, what they're going to do is have a motorcycle and an old car caravan. They're going to have a police escort. And they're going to preach in one church, the preacher is, and that motorcycles and old time cars is going to make their way up to another place, then that same preacher is going to preach in that place. I'm here to tell you, friend, if you've got to get a motorcyclecade and a motorcade to drive up and down the highway to get people in the house of God, they're not there to hear the gospel, they're not concerned about their soul, they'll get a religion, come to the house of God, and rather than having a Bethel, they'll have a Bethhaven, a place of fouls and a den of iniquity, there where God will never visit, never work, and souls will never be saved, and their children will die in their sin and go to hell because they followed mom and daddy.
Amen.
You know I'm telling it right. God have mercy on us. God have mercy. They had turned, and I've already mentioned, but notice the degradation there. From Bethel, the house of God, that had degenerated more name than anything else. It was now Bethhaven, a house of vanity, and a house of wickedness. It not only was a house of degeneration, but it was a house of darkness. God help us today. God help us that our churches will not be a house of darkness, but a place of light. Oh, yes, a place of glorious light where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have light in the house of God, we're going to have Jesus in the house of God. He is the light of the world. I'm telling you, without Him in the house of God, we're nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. The Bible said He walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And I wonder what's going to happen if them candlesticks degenerate themselves, the people do, to this point. And the candlesticks might not be too much gold. They might have a lot of rust. I don't think the Lord would hang around a place like that very long. Come on in the house now. Don't you want to have a church where the light is turned on and in the hearts of people, young and old alike, where they can see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and be saved by His marvelous grace. Oh, I remember that wonderful morning, Miss Patty, when God opened up my blinded eyes, hallelujah, and I saw that light. Thank God I saw that light. Amen. Oh, Hank Williams wrote that song, I saw the light. I saw the light. They said right before he died, he raised up in the back seat of his automobile and talked to his driver that was driving him to his next singing engagement. Called the man by name and said, you know that light that I wrote about? He said, I don't believe I've ever seen it. I wonder how many people come to church and they never see that light. That's the reason they don't, is because they've got a Bethhaven and not a Bethel. They've got a place of religion, but they've got a place of, without God. It's not really God's house. It's some people's house. It's a house of the golden calf. Now I'm telling you, those people learned to worship that calf and it brought it right on down from one generation to another generation. Now get this, it don't sound too bad. It don't sound too bad, but here comes a man of God walking down the street and all at once here comes a bunch of children out. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Mocking the man of God. I wonder why they were mocking the man of God. I'm going to tell you why. They'd sat down at the dinner table before and heard mom and daddy mocking the man of God. That's exactly why they were mocking the man of God.
Amen. That's right.
They'd heard mom and daddy along that line. Go up, thou bald. You know what they were really saying? I want you to get a hold of this. How they were mocking him was like this. Elijah had just been taken up in a whirlwind. And Elisha had taken his mantle. And what those children were saying, if you're really a man of God like Elijah was, go up like he did. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. If you're really a man of God, go up, thou bald head. Oh, and I'm telling you, in doing that, they were mocking that man of God. If you're really a man of God, do what Elijah done. God may not want him to done like Elijah done, but the point of it is, they had to learn that from somebody. And rather than being in Bethel, a place of light, they were in Bethaven, a place of darkness. Not only was it a place of degradation and darkness, but it was a place of deceit. Oh, how deceived some people are today. And I tell you, you may not believe what I'm preaching to you in love the best way I know how. Because I'm telling you, there's people today all over America that's deceived. They've got a form of religion, Brother Troy, but they deny the power thereof. Oh, they're religious, but they deny the power to transform them by the grace of God and to make them a holy people for the glory of God and to walk in God's ways and God's commandments and not in the ways of the world. Amen.
Yeah.
We've got people today that is walking in the ways of the world. Now, I wouldn't say this happens to everybody. But I'm going to tell you something more. And I don't know if he's listening or not. He may be. I love him, even if he is listening. But I know a fella, and I can tell you the church that he went to, a Baptist church right here in the town. Every time I'd see him, he'd talk to me about God, talk to me about the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, it was just, just sweet fellowship with him. And he got the idea that he'd get a grant and enroll out here at community college. When he enrolled out here at community college, he began to get so intelligent. He began to get so intelligent. I noticed him starting to drop. I met him one day and got to talking to him. Hey, he asked me a question and I said something. And it was about, he asked me something about politics, so I told him. And I'm going to tell you, that man turned loose on me and they was witnesses. He cussed me. He called me every name. And I sat there and I said, "No, buddy, you're walking on thin ice. Because if you don't shut up, I'm fixing to bust you upside your God-given eyeballs." But I'm telling you, that man cussed me. He got so heated up, he had to go in the back and get water and splash on his face to cool himself down. That's how heated he got. And his last statement was just recently. Now, if you can get a hold of the stupidity and the ignorance of this, I'm talking about a man that used to come to the house of God and talked about the Lord and said he loved the Lord and talked about being saved. The last statement that I heard that man say was, "I'm halfway between an agnostic and an atheist, but I believe in Jesus." Yeah. What? I'm halfway between an agnostic and an atheist, but I believe in Jesus? You've got to be joking me, friend. Somebody said, "What's wrong?" Somebody is deceived somewhere along the line. That's what the problem is. For somebody has sat under somebody that has deceived them greatly. Caused them to believe something that just ain't going to be true. And I'm going to say we live in a generation of people just like the Bible said, they'd rather believe a lie than the truth, and they believe a lie and be damned. Now, that succession of sin is not only because of evil, but it's also because of example. It is usually, it's a usual thing where there are profane parents, we have profane children. You know, I couldn't help but to think of Ahab and Jezebel. I don't believe there was a wickeder king. Maybe Jeroboam, because the Bible said Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel a sin. I don't know how many times it says in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, Ahab was a wicked king. And his wife was no better. You're talking about a wicked couple. They're the ones that had Naboth put to death, a righteous man, and had him stoned and put to death. We're talking about Ahab and Jezebel, that put 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the grove and around their table and fed them. We're talking about a king that worshiped Baal instead of God. Amen. Would you believe they had children? Now, I won't go into the fact of one of them. They had a daughter that married into the kings down in Judah and turned them sour. I won't even get to that. I'll just talk about their son, a man by the name of Ahaziah. The Bible said about Ahaziah in 1 Kings 22:52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now get this. Boy, I'm telling you, this is something that's, I mean, boy, if we can get a hold of this. Listen carefully. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. In other words, it's exactly what Ahab done, his half-son did. Now I'm telling you, old gentlemen, I'm telling you, we better be careful of what we say and how we act and how we live. We better be careful of the decisions that we make in life. If there's anything I want, it's for my children and grandchildren to know that their grandpa and their daddy tried to live a righteous life for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, another one says, now get it. Another one says, he walked in the way of his father. But it also says he walked in the way of his mother. This poor boy didn't have a chance. He had a daddy that was sinful. He had a mama that was sinful. He's walking after the ways of his daddy. He's walking after the ways of his mama. And if that ain't enough, the Bible said, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel to sin. He's a threefold loser. He had three examples that just didn't do much for him. The succession of sin. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The succession of sin. I was going to speak on the shame of it, but I'm going to reserve that. Because it says that she was shameful. It's a succession of sin, but there's some safeguards for you and I. And I'm just about done. There's some safeguards for you and I. Number one is teach our children the Word of God. I'm not talking about just depending on a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about teaching them. Somebody said, you mean sitting down and having a Sunday school class? No. I'm just simply talking about teaching them what that Bible has to say about life and about death, about righteousness and holiness, about sin and wickedness. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sin will take you a lot farther than you want to go. It really will. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you there a whole lot longer than you want to stay. I promise you it will. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it get rooted into families. And they fail to teach their children the Word of God. I'll use this for an illustration. And it's my own illustration. Now, I'm not trying to throw off on my daddy. I love my daddy. But my daddy was a drunk. He was a drunk. Now, you take my Uncle Chester that lived just down the road from us a little ways. I don't remember Uncle Chester ever drank a liquor in his entire life. He raised four or five boys and a girl. Carl, Robert, and Dale. And a daughter. Can't think of her name. But to the best of my knowledge, not one of them ever took a drink of liquor in their life. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect. But what I'm saying is their daddy didn't drink and they never drank a drop of liquor in their life. On the other hand, my daddy was pretty much of a drinker. And I could start right down the line to you. And every child that ever come out of his loins and every child that ever come out of the womb of my mother, every one of them at one time or another in their life was nothing but a drunk because like their daddy was, so were they. I'm talking about every one. Oh, it's not that way now, and I'm glad, thank God, it's not. But I'm telling you, at one time or another in their life, they was a drunk. I'm not throwing off on drunks. I used to be one. But thank God Jesus passed by my way. And I got the Word of God rooted and grounded into my heart. And God taught me better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm telling you, teach your children the Word of God. That book will keep them from sin.
Amen.
Then you ought to train them up in the way they ought to go. The opposite of training up a child in the way they ought to go. When they're older, they will not depart from it. And that's a little bit more than teaching. Got to set a little example there, Daddy. You really do. If you want your children to be smart mouthed, you be smart mouthed. I'm just telling you, right? They'll do it. You think they won't? Where's Jordan? How old was that little child? One you was telling us about yesterday. Huh? 2 years old? About the food. How old was it? She works in a daycare center over there. And a little 7-year-old boy wasn't eating his food. Right. Well, she said, if you don't eat it, we'll just take it and put it up. And a 7-year-old boy took a bite of that food, put it in his mouth, and spit it in her face. I'm going to tell you what, when I was 7 years old, if I'd have spit food in somebody's face, bless God, I'm going to tell you, from then on, for at least 6 months, I'd have had to suck my food through a straw.
That's right.
My daddy would absolutely knock the living devil out of me, buddy. But what are you saying? I'm saying we've got a generation that will not train up their children. And the state, they don't want nothing right. They don't want you to spank them. They don't want the Ten Commandments. They don't want prayer. They don't want nothing about God in the classrooms, in the school. And they're trying to shut it down in the house of God. I'm so sick and tired of every time something happens bad, it's Christians that do it. That crowd out there that they arrested, said they were trying to be terrorists. They've been shooting and this and that and one thing and another and was forming a militia. And they said they were Christians because they were getting ready to the Antichrist. And the Lord said had to fight the Antichrist with a sword. Only one problem with that, they ain't read their Bible. And anything that claims something about the Bible to the media out there, they're Christians. They don't know what a Christian is. And most children out there don't know what Christian parents are. God help us, because I'm telling you, sin will follow sin. But all righteousness will also follow righteousness, thank God. You better believe it will. Old John the Baptist had a righteous mom and daddy, didn't he? And he turned out right, praise God. Come out of the wilderness preaching the book. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Now, teach them the word. Train them up in the way they ought to go. I'm closing right here. And then talk to the Lord about them. Pray! Surely we're not past praying. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we have Bethel or Bethaven? Do we have a house of God or a house of religion? We will follow God or follow the religious ways. And most of the time, all that religion does is just kind of salve over somebody's conscience and make them feel good. But it won't get you to heaven. Let's stand together. Boy, I shocked you this morning, didn't I? It's hard to say I'm not going to be long, but I knew better to say that. You need to come this morning like these, you come right on. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy. Thank you for the good grace of God and your help. Thank you, people. I pray you'll bless us, Lord, and help us. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed to set the right example before our families and others as well. I pray, God, that you'll bless us. I pray, Lord, that you'll train us upright. Help us to walk in the ways of God, the ways of the Word. Help us to walk, Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit. And may the spiritual man conquer the flesh and walk after the things of the Lord, precious and holy and righteous things, and certainly not let sin follow after us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, may I say, that probably a lot of those that I mentioned in the Word of God, a lot of them, had they gotten saved in their life, they could have changed the way things happened. Wonder what would have made it. Wonder what kind of a difference it would have made if Ahab and Jezebel had gotten saved. Wonder what kind of a difference it would have made if all those people in Bethel had gotten saved. Made a big difference. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you've never been to Calvary, you've never been saved. I want to invite you to come today. Come to Christ today and receive Him. Maybe there's a mommies and daddies here and you got a family and you want them right. You don't want your children to go to hell. I know you don't. I know you don't. Why don't you come this morning? I ask God to put a hedge about them. Always thank you, Brother George.